If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it. If you think about it, then you dream about it. Don't worry about it, we gon' talk about it.
Thank you guys for tuning in to episode 6 of Sorry Not Sorry podcast. We are here via Zoom right now. So if our quality is not the best, we are the people trying to, you know, lower the curve. We're practicing social distancing. So we are all on Zoom with our special guests.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much for staying home and staying safe. And tonight we're going to be talking about what's on everybody's mind. Me. Sorry. we're going to be talking about, tequila, first and foremost. All hail tequila. And we're going to be talking about what everyone's going through right now. We're going through a world pandemic and we're all in this together. And I wanted to bring this special guest on because she is an expert at finding strength and fortitude and tragedy. And I'll spill the tea on that in just a little bit. But we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and our experiences with it, how we can get through it together, how we can come through this more flourished and as a team, and, you know, in a better place as much as we can be. So kicking it off, we have author, speaker, comedian, coach, Katie McKenna joining us tonight. So say hi, Katie.
Hi, so delighted to be with you all. Thank you so much.
So cute. I'm cute. I feel like a puppy.
We're all cute. And
Katie, agreed.
Yes. Katie is super fabulous. She has this, I'm so sad that you guys can't witness this in person, but maybe you can if you sign up for her website. she has this like abundance of energy that just is physical. When you meet someone that is like joy from like the movie Inside Out. And yes, I've gotten to the space where I'm quoting kids' movies to adults.
I was about to say, what is going on over there?
I made it there. I'm in full mom zone. I am quoting kids' movies. But she has this like tangible energy and like life force. Like it is like some Yoda shit. And she is just is full of positive vibes. And if you're just around her for a minute, you just feel happy. You feel grateful. You feel this like connection. And so I really wanted to bring her on, especially to talk about gratitude. But right now it's so relevant to talk about when we're all stressed out. Mm-hmm. Stuck at home and feeling like we're inundated with bad news. So but
we kind of predicted, because when we did the schedule, she was coming on in April. So low key, we predicted something was going to happen in April where we needed gratitude talk. So
exactly. We're on top of it. I agree. I totally agree.
We're going to drop those gems for you in just a bit. I wanted to just open up with a quick icebreaker before we go into Katie's story about how she gets through these types of situations. So we're all in this right now together. What's the weirdest trend or behavior that you've noticed during this pandemic? And I'll kick it off to you first, Katie.
Okay, I have two, and I love this question. Okay, I love your panic. Don't worry, I've got this for you. I will always step in front of it for you. Don't you? So I've got two. So you get to take your time to think about it. So my number one is, okay, so my name is Katie McKenna. I was raised in an Irish household. And like for us, it was completely cool every night to have a drink. And I feel like the trend is now it's okay for everybody to cocktail. Exactly. Hello. It's in an insulated cup because I would like to keep it cold for myself. That I'm super into. And the second thing that I've noticed is like a weird behavior is that people are actually picking up my phone calls.
Oh, what?
I am a phone person. I love a phone call. And I used to have to like make a Google appointment to be like, are you available? And now I give a call and it's like 6:45 and they're like, oh my God, Katie, I'm so happy to hear from you. I'm like, this is fantastic.
I'm constantly
and it is my calls. Favorite trend.
Because everyone's answering for me as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like to, like, okay, so I like it, but I don't like it at the same time.
You don't have an excuse like not to answer like the phone.
Huh?
I don't have an excuse not to answer the phone besides I simply just don't want to talk to somebody. Usually I could be like, I was out, but it's like, why were you out with social distancing? Like,
but I kind of think that there's a nice clarity around that of being like, hey, I'm not feeling like it right now. And then it's like, hey, you know what we're going to inject into our friendship? Some honesty. I don't feel like talking.
I understand. I'm going through something too. It's the pandemic. Yeah.
Wait, speaking of honesty, before when we got phone calls and we used to have to lie to get off the phone, and now it's just like, well, talk to you later. I don't have anything. I ran out of things to say.
Exactly. All right. People in my job, they say this thing on Zoom, like, guess I'll talk or see you later. Ha ha. And I'm just like, I don't get it.
People have started saying, see you on the internet. And I'm like,
that's a horrible trend.
I was like, I don't, no, thank you. No, thank you. I'd like to say no to seeing you on the internet. No, thank you. Hard pass. Just call me on the phone.
Right. What's the horrible
But don't leave a voicemail.
What about the people, like my coworkers, that just FaceTime randomly without a heads up? And I look like a troll, like a living troll with like ketchup stains, no bra, and literally like running around to the point where my son is like, mommy, you have stinky grass under your arms.
Grass.
He breeds me all day. And so like my coworkers will call and I'm like, I'm not answering the phone like this on FaceTime. I'll answer the phone. Not a FaceTime though. Like I think we're still kind of crossing the line with FaceTime.
I think you need to make an appointment for FaceTime. 100%.
Elevated, yeah. Right? Like that's the elevated service level.
That is next level. That is next level.
Ask me first. Don't just But I FaceTime my best friend all the time, so that's different. But
I mean, it's your best friend, though.
Yeah. Sometimes not I feel like I'm intruding.
A colleague, like a work colleague for FaceTiming? No, no. That's not where we're at. No, thank you. Mm-mm. Hard pass.
I don't have my number for that anyway.
You want to think about it a little bit, Gian, or you want me to go next?
You can go next. I still I suck at these.
All right, so two things. Actually, one thing I noticed that's really weird for me are the panic buys, right? So toilet tissue, I kind of understand a little bit, even though I wish I was the person that started that pandemic trend. Like, I wish I was the first person to tweet, like, get all the toilet paper, they're going to run out soon. Like, then I could put that on my gravestone and I'd be proud and happy in my petty death. But every time I go to the store, they're out of chicken stock and flour. And I'm like, what are y'all cooking with that?
The same thing you were cooking.
Stupid name. I needed chicken stock once, but ever since I've seen it was out, I check and it's out. And I'm like, what y'all cooking with all this chicken stock?
Can I make a recommendation? Just buy the bouillon cubes, because there's always bouillon cubes because it's garbage. And that's what I buy. And I have it. And I will say, like, that is, I've been making so many soups. That's really what it is. And I've been trying to be
it's
like
you. Making the soups?
I don't. I've only been using the bouillon, Jenny. It's not me. I've been buying the cubes.
Does it count if I use the seasoning in the ramen pack? That's bouillon, right?
Duh.
You know, I actually use that for like cooking fried chicken.
It's delicious. Really? All of your choices are the right ones. This is a judgment-free
chicken
zone.
Chicken flavored chicken, same thing.
Mm. Chicken flavored chicken. I'm down with that. That matters to me too. I love, one thing that I do love, my second thing, I guess, my thing was the stop stealing all the chicken stock. Come on, guys. My kind of trend is I see all these social media challenges online because people are like super bored or whatever. And so now they're trying to justify all that screen time, but that's fine. I'm no judgment here. I am on the screen too. And I love seeing people it's like an explosion of creativity.
Yes.
Right? And there's so many things on TikTok, which is a really funny, really funny application that will steal all your data and personal information. It's
really funny though. Like all the other apps.
Yeah.
It's on the list. Really put it on my tab.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead and steal that data because my credit's going that great. So you go ahead. Gian will fix that later. Yeah, so it's like, I just feel so like inspired by humanity. Like I guess I wasn't paying attention before. We're pretty freaking awesome sometimes. Like, you know, all of these like fun little skits that people are doing with their like, you know, families and like
the movies,
the funny little things that they're doing and the movies. And I'm like, dude, put these people on. We need more of this on SNL. We need more of this on primetime.
Yeah.
And you can see the crossover now between social media and mainstream, like with the Disney sing-along or America from Home or Alone Together. You can see how our new world is going to have a lot more social media on mainstream, and I'm for it.
I love that. And a lot more faces and voices, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love that. I think that's such a great insight. Oh, that's beautiful.
New faces. Okay, I think I have mine.
Yeah.
maybe you guys can word it better for me, but I'm the one thing I'm not liking about this whole pandemic thing is like the level of ignorance and stupidity that I'm seeing on social media. It was already bad before, but since this pandemic hit, it's like heightened where everyone feels like they're entitled to a platform with an opinion that makes no sense. Like the conspiracy theories or even just the ignorant things people are saying about people who are just trying to cope. Like those posts about if you're not producing anything during this pandemic, like you're lazy. We're all trying to figure it out.
Agreed.
I don't like that. Like it's too much pressure on people to do something during a pandemic. And it's like, well, since you're the pro on pandemics, you give us the blueprint. Like none of us lived through this before. I've never experienced this in my life. So I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I hate those posts. It's like, I learned Latin today. What did you do?
Yeah, what did you do? Get off my back. I survived. And people around me are also alive. Get off my back.
I went to Western Beef and Target and bought like a shitload of groceries. And I felt so accomplished because I have not done anything. I was like, oh my God, I survived.
You went to 2 stores in one day. Are you a superhero?
No, right?
Like, seriously, I'm very impressed.
Target was crazy, but Western Beef was fine. So I was like, good. See, I accomplished something.
I can just see you inside of a Target, like, 6 feet, 6 feet.
You wanna know what's crazy? That was definitely me. That was me, because they had the lines for where to stand, and I turned around, and this lady was literally, like, in my face, and I was like, I said, ma'am, you're not wearing a mask, but... She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I know it's new to you, right?
Next episode, how to tell somebody to back the fuck up with
during a pandemic and you're not wearing a mask. That's another thing. I'm like in the car on my way there. And I felt like I've been under a rock my whole life. Like I never lived in Brooklyn before. I'm looking at everything like it's new. I'm just like, oh, I missed this block. Oh my God. I haven't seen this in a while. Like it was so weird. I'm like, yeah, I don't like this.
Mm-hmm. That's that appreciation kicking in right there.
Yeah, I mean that's the good thing about this pandemic. It's making me appreciate a lot of things, like even just telling my friends no, I don't want to go to a bar, which rarely happens. But that, you know, just having the option to say no, not like I really have to stay in the house, and I'm saving money.
My God.
And learning, and like for me, like learning how to actually cook. That's I've been using up all the chicken stock, but not the stock. Obviously, and the flour. I did learn how to bake bread, but I didn't post about it.
Was really it banana bread?
No, it's it's no knead bread. Have you guys heard the
no knead?
Like no kneading, like you don't have to knead. No knead. I always need bread. I enjoy a carbohydrate. Yeah. It makes me feel like I'm like my life is worthwhile. But that like learning how to cook has been good. Saving money too. All that stuff is good.
Yeah.
I'm not cooking. Well, I live with my mom, so that's why. So,
well, she's pandemic cooking for you then. Eat it up.
I mean, Mother's Day, I do want to make a breakfast and a mimosa, but it's like the idea of waking up is like, wow, I want to sleep in. Something so easy. I know. I'm getting it. I'm growing up. I'm gonna get my own place again.
All right, let's not so cleanly segue. So, you know, I wanted to open with that icebreaker because I think that it's easy to forget to realize that there's still a lot to be grateful for, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to find resilience. And sometimes gratitude can be a key to resilience and getting through your hard times and your dark moments. So I wanted to bring on Katie McKenna because she is the queen of finding lessons for surviving and thriving through gratitude. And you know that saying where it's like, I feel like I got hit by a truck? Well, Katie actually did get hit by a truck. And she survived. Yeah. And she is the perfect person to have this dialogue with. Once when she was 24, you know, her life was forever changed when she was run over by a truck in Brooklyn. So shout out to Brooklyn and sorry for Katie.
Shout out to Brooklyn. Oh. You can't drive in New York, let's be honest.
They can't have a license. Hard.
You should never drive in Brooklyn again.
Yeah.
And I guess it's like a really awesome or weird party opener for you, Katie, like when you're like, so I got hit by a truck.
Absolutely. Well, the weirdest is like people ask me, they're like, you know, people's questions are always like, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, well, you know, I'm a speaker and I wrote a book and I'm a life coach. And they're like, oh, what's the title of your book? And I'm like, how to get run over by a truck? And they're like, oh my God, that's such a funny title. And I'm like,
no, seriously.
I'm like, it's a memoir. And they're like, oh, okay, well, what? Cool. And I was like, yeah, no, it's not just a clever title. I was run over by an 18-mil truck. Can I get another tequila and soda?
If someone told me that was the title of their book, I would think they're teaching me how to get hit by a car and get money out of it. Like,
right?
How to get hit by a truck. Okay, I'm going to get some money. Cool. And not get hurt.
Like, oh, my recommendation is to tuck and roll. Probably. Oh, that's the right move. And make
sure story, like,
a nice one. Mine was not that nice, so I didn't get the money that mom would hope for. But that's A-okay. What I did get out of it is all of my ribs broken, my pelvis fractured in 5 places, and all my organs torn up. But so there we go.
Which it still looks like, I mean, I don't know how long ago it was, but.
It was 12 years ago. But that also is, to speak to like the party piece, is that it is a huge benefit when you tell people you run over by a truck and everyone's like, you look amazing. And I'm like,
12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was run over by a truck.
Exactly. And I just shook it off.
So Katie, just to spill a little of your tea, I've seen you speak multiple times. I've read your book. The thing that really connected with me, and I think really will connect with our audience, is when you were having this really dark and devastating moment in your life, and everyone around you basically said, it's a wrap. Mm-hmm. Saying, you know, sorry, you know, there's really nothing we can do. And they kind of just kept telling you no. And there was just, it was just kind of like, you know, from an outside looking in, most people would be like, this is a really bleak situation.
Yeah.
But yet somehow you came through the other side, and look at you now, looking the same damn age.
Talking and slower and with more Zoom eye contact. Yes, please.
Married, happy, thriving, surviving, living. Drinking tequila.
Exactly.
Do you see any parallels between your story and what the world's going through right now?
Oh my goodness. I see. That is such a great question, Jenny. And I will also say that I've seen Jenny speak and she's incredible. Like, yeah. A wonder. If you do get the opportunity to see her speak, do not walk, run. She is phenomenal. And it's been a pleasure to just be in the same spaces that she's been in.
I love the empowerment and love. I love
All day, every day. Every woman is an angel with one wing, and we just got to lean so that we can fly. That's it.
Right. Ooh, I love that. Oh,
isn't that good?
This is going on social media. I love this.
Women supporting women.
All day, every day. Together. All day, every day.
You all we got.
Yeah, I know. True story. I'm true to that.
Hello.
Poor mama.
I was looking at that bottle for a long time. I wonder when she's gonna
be. It's go time.
Okay, can I? Well, oh yeah, you should ask your question. The parallel. Sorry.
Yes, but I mean, with that in mind, I mean, I think it's such a phenomenal question, and it's something I've been thinking about a lot. Right, I feel like I've been run over by a truck is something that I'm sure when people ask you a question recently, that you'd be like, "How are you feeling?" You'd be like, "I feel like I got run over by a truck." And it's a turn of phrase for a reason, right? Because it is an actual feeling. Mm-hmm. It's the feeling that everything that you knew in your life to be true suddenly has been smashed into a million pieces. And you have no idea how you're going to put those pieces back together again. And we're kind of left looking at these pieces and we're like, what am I going to do? And there's no map, there's no way to know how we're going to get through this. And for me personally, I think the thing that I feel right now that's very similar is this limbo feeling, right? That we're like in the middle of something. We don't know what exactly the future is. We know what the past was, but we do not know exactly what future is going to look like. And we're in this in-between sort of healing space, right? And I think that the only, I mean, like that's what I'm seeing. And the thing that I'm seeing a lot for myself is like the way to approach this is the same way that I approached relearning how to walk and kind of coming back from, so the doctors, when I went to the emergency room, my doctors told me that I was not going to live when I asked them. I was like, do you think I'm going to make it through this surgery? And they were like, probably not.
Wow.
And then when I survived miraculously, I asked a doctor if I was ever going to walk again. And he was like, no.
I wouldn't even listen to them anymore at this point.
I know, exactly. I'm like, you Jamokes, you don't know me. But like that was a lucky thing. And I think that's the thing that also in another way, like that we're seeing is that I think that, I don't know about you guys, but I had a fear about the idea that like, if we were put into this position that human beings wouldn't take care of each other. Mm. And I have been so moved by the fact that like someone told us, no, you're not going to take care of each other. No, human beings are selfish, but like, holy moly, like people are taking care of each other.
Yeah.
They're loving each other. They're staying at home. They're making themselves uncomfortable to save other people's lives.
Some of us.
They're not 6 feet apart, but they should be. But I think that like we're hearing a no, but finding a way to yes in an important way. You know, are you guys seeing that too?
What I'm experiencing though, like I've said, I don't know, maybe this is my karma that I don't deal with death. Like I lost my grandfather and I didn't react to it. I lost a friend in college. I didn't react to it because it makes me feel awkward. But I've been hearing so many people who just been, a friend of mine in Chicago lost his mom to the virus. And I don't even know what to say to him, but me just being on the phone with him and just letting him vent or letting him cry was like enough for him. So just allowing people to just, you know, just speak. I don't know what to say to you. I'm not going to say sorry for your loss. I'm not going to say she's in a better place. I don't know what words to say to someone. But if you just want to be upset and be mad that you lost someone, I'm going to be on the phone with you and let you curse people out. I'll be there for you. That's the only thing I can really offer. But like, I was in someone's inbox. I don't even know them. Someone posted, like shared a status that they lost their grandfather due to the virus. Mm-hmm. And I like messaged the person on Facebook like, hey, you don't know me, but you know, if you need to just vent or you need to scream, you know, here's my number. And I don't do that giving out my number now. Yeah. But I just felt like, you know, this is a way for me to cope with the deaths I've dealt with by helping people cope with theirs. Like I didn't have a healthy coping like method. But this is probably a way to help me realize how I was supposed to cope with it, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. That makes total sense. And also you giving the gift of your presence, of being present with someone. The most important thing is I think when there's a death or when there's a moment, like the moment that we're going through right now, it just feels like your vertical world has turned horizontal. And you want for everybody else and everyone else in the world to say, hey, this is super fucked up. Like, your world is currently horizontal and that's bullshit. It should be here and it's not. And I'm here to tell you that sucks and tell me all about it.
Yeah.
And then at some point, like, and you want for the world to stop and you giving someone the space to be like, the world just stopped is the greatest gift we can give it to each other. I think that the only gift that we can give period, like that is unselfish and that is not material is our attention.
Mm-hmm. That is the gift of, that is how I express gratitude, through attention, because, you know, there's different ways to express it, but when I'm very thankful for someone, I want to give them my undivided attention. Mm. You know, I'm not going to be looking at my phone. I'm not going to be thinking of a million things. And if they need me, however I can be there, I can be there. And that's my gift. That's how I express my gratitude.
Is there like a love language for gratitude? Like love languages, but then is there gratitude languages?
Honestly, there probably is. And if there isn't, I'm going to probably write that, but no.
Yes, please write it. Look,
I just coined an idea. Let me get this out here for someone steals.
I got you on the royalty, girl. But it's we don't understand how to express gratitude. We're just told that just be thankful. You have something, be thankful for it. And it's like, doesn't really kind of work like that. You can feel thankful, but expressing real true gratitude is a whole body experience. And it expresses itself in different ways for each different individual. And you have to find what works for you, you know? Mm-hmm. But I just want to circle back to a point that Katie just made, where she said, sometimes you just need to hear somebody say, hey, this is fucked up, right? And I think one of the saddest things that I've seen happen with the pandemic, but something that I think is very valuable and I think is very relevant, is that we're seeing how this pandemic and this virus is affecting people with different socioeconomical issues, you know, the disability community, people of color. And for so long, we looked the other way. We were just like, get a job, bum. Like, I'm hard enough, huh? You know, I got 3 jobs and my dad came from so-and-so and he's like, he's here now making money. And I think for so long, we as a collective society, you know, some of us have been screaming from the mountaintops, this is unfair, you know, and now we're laid bare and everyone's like, hey, this is fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you go out of the house, especially since we're all New Yorkers, when I go out, Outside of the people like me, like all covered up and crazed, like please don't touch me, I see a very high spike in mentally ill people out in the streets. I see a lot of like homeless people in the shopping malls looking for handouts and foods. And these are the people that were ignored, and they were kind of like in the background where you couldn't really spot them anymore because you're so used to ignoring it. And now it's so blatantly obvious that we have a long road to go for equity. And it's like now everyone's starting to see, like, you know, I just heard Joe Biden earlier, like, we have to fix this.
Yeah.
It's exposed these things that we've been overlooking for so long. And for that, I am grateful because I hope that this, you know, turns a new leaf for everybody. Like, we're all in the space now where we're like, this is fucked up. We can agree. This is fucked up.
And weirdly enough, this is everything Bernie Sanders was preaching about. And then as soon as the pandemic starts, he drops out of the race. I'm like, this kind of helped your campaign, but you know, we'll proceed.
Nah.
Well, my hope is, I mean, like, and again, not to get too political, but my hope is that it seems like Joe Biden is like, he sees it and he hears it. And he's like, okay, you know what? In order for me to be successful is that I have to pick up, because number one, he's right.
Yeah.
And number two, like the groundswell of support for him is so real, right? And that he has to pick up those things in order to be successful in this, in this upcoming campaign. And that's, you know, I'll blow myself up as I'm a Democrat. So I'm very hopeful. Surprising no one, said the New Yorker.
Whether it's the trees or whatever, 5G, I think, you know, or aliens or whatever people want to call it, we needed change. And now we're here. And change isn't always pretty. And it's not always beautiful and painful. And I think that's just where we are right now. And maybe the Mayans got it wrong and it wasn't 2012.
Yeah, right.
It was 2020. But I wanted to ask you, Katie, and I know that right now, like, you're Katie, the life coach, the speaker. So you have these great insights from, you know, your lessons that you've lived and that you've been through. But when you were in the thick of it, like we are right now, right? What got you through it? Like, how did you find inspiration and hope when pretty much your own doctors were like, nah, sis, tap out.
Exactly. Bye. Good luck. God send. Say your prayers. 24 years was a really long time. I think that the thing that helped me, so the two things that you can control in this life are your attitude and your activity. Mm. And that's kind of it. And what I leaned into then was really trying my best. And this is a weird thing, but I was very conscious. I'm a pleaser, right? I'm one of four kids. I'm the second oldest. I'm the oldest girl. And like, I kind of understood that my role in my family was to make everything nice. You know, everybody could be okay. And like that, make it nice, make it even. That was kind of my way. And so I understood that if I wanted for people to continue to see me, I kind of needed to stay positive. And that I needed to lean into what Jenny has talked about, which is the idea of gratitude. And I needed to find things to be thankful for every day and share them and be vocal with people about it. And then in regards to my activity, I kind of adopted this small bites and little victories mentality, which has been a really big part of my life. I made all of my goals really small and really attainable. And they could be something like making sure that I ate 10 bites of breakfast, or if I tried to, you know, those triangles that they have over a bed, like when, cause I was paralyzed from the rib cage down. And so I'd like try to do a pull up on the triangle, or I'd be able to flex my leg muscle a little, or if I was able to tell the nurses that I could sponge bathe myself, those were really, really small things, but I made them small and then I achieved them. And then I celebrated the shit out of them. I would tell everybody, I would call people on the phone. I'd be like, you are not. And this is stuff that I would have been able to do, like not thinking about it before, but I would be over the moon and my excitement, my delight, my wanting to celebrate made everybody else want to celebrate, and that we found things to be joyful about together. I think that was incredibly helpful. And I know that we were talking about the idea of being like, I don't want for anyone to feel pressure during the pandemic, but if there's something small that you can do for yourself that makes you feel good, like a face mask or like washing your hair or like doing a push-up or making a great TikTok or creating something fun that gives you joy, that is something you call up your friends and you tell everybody about it. You call them on the phone, because or call me, I'll pick up, obviously. But like, I think that that's an important piece. And Another thing that was really helpful for me, and I'm incredibly blessed because I have a wonderful and supportive and kind family. And unfortunately, my dad had been through something similar where his sister was in a drunk driving accident when she was 21. And unfortunately, she had brain damage. She never fully recovered. She's been disabled for her whole life. And my dad has, my father's father died about 6 months after she came out of the coma. And so my dad was kind of used to the idea of taking care of somebody and had an understanding about like what one needed in order to transcend this kind of stuff. And every night when I was hooked up to a ventilator and I wasn't really fully conscious, my parents would kiss me goodnight and they'd have to leave, you know, after visiting hours. And my dad would say this thing to me that has held me for in every moment of my life, which is, he'd come in and give me a kiss and then he'd whisper in my ear. He'd be like, Katie, you just have to make me one promise before I go. He's like, will you keep punching? I know you're in the fight of your life. And baby girl, you are getting the crap kicked out of you. He's like, but will you keep punching? You don't have to win, sweet girl. You just got to keep swinging. Okay. And I could cry now. And it's like, we don't have to win. We just can't give up. And I think that that's what held me, was the idea that there are people in our lives that we don't even see who are supporting us, who are lifting us up, who are the person who would be like, hey, your grandfather died. Give me a call and scream. Like, as human beings, we are continuously and constantly lifting in a way that we don't even know. There are people who are cheering you on right now that you don't even know about. And that's why we keep swinging. We swing for ourselves, we swing for them. And again, you don't have to fight. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you just have to do it. And I think that those were kind of the things that helped me a lot. And my last piece is just to circle back to Jen. It's like her ethos, the beautiful thing that makes like the halo of her is I think that the biggest thing that I felt while I was recovering was fear, fear of the unknown, fear of this next step. And in my mind, I think the enemy of fear is gratitude, right? When we feel gratitude, it roots us. It reminds us that it's only the unknown that's scary. When we're in right now, when we're in a warm and safe place, there's food in the fridge, our family's around us, we have our health, we're okay. And gratitude reminds us of the things that we know and that we're thankful for. And because of that, then the fear and the anxiety, they can't live with you because they're not rooted with you.
That was deep.
Damn, like, girl, you just gave us sound bites for the rest of the season.
No, seriously. Thank you. What? Wow. That keep punching really spoke to me because I've got dragged and beat up by life so many times, and I'd be like, oh, you got me that time, you snuck me, but
yeah, but then you get back up because you're resilient as all get out. Like, it doesn't have to be pretty. It just, and the thing is like, as long as you're scrappy, right? That's the thing. We think it has to be this beautiful phoenix rising from an ashes, but really it's just the fact that you didn't give the fuck up. And that's it. Like, and that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And you know, you just really like nailed home this this whole like conversation I've been having for a few weeks where people are like, oh, you're so strong. And I'm like, how? How am I strong? I'm dying. I'm falling apart. Help me. Really, strength is just getting back up, like you said. It really is just not giving up. And whatever that looks like, you know, some people might think strength looks like you coming back out, snatched Beyonce, wind blowing in your hair when you're walking down the street. You know, you slammed all of this stuff, but it really just means getting to the next day sometimes. It just means not giving up on yourself, because we're so often taught to do that, or we can let that outside influence come in, but not giving up on yourself and having patience for yourself and kindness for yourself. Mm. And back to Gion's point, feeling all this pressure from this pandemic of not learning Latin or how to like cook new thousand meals, but it's like,
even with us not doing podcast content, like not posting on our social media, and I'm just like, I'm trying to figure it out.
But you did what you could, and that means you didn't give up, and that means you're
like honestly, it looks like this, Jenny. I'm in bed watching something on Netflix. I'm like, I'm not tired.
I could be doing something for the podcast. Boom, 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 when I get on a computer, like, let me get this out the way because I'm not going to do it tomorrow. Like, it's weird because you, it's like you have the time, but it's just like, I appreciate this pandemic because I've had the option to breathe. All my life, I've just been always on the go. Whether I'm just jumping from jobs or when I was in school, I was working two jobs or going to school. This is the first time in my entire life where I just got to breathe. Like be not being forced to be outside gives me an excuse to just dwell in me.
Yes.
And figure me out some more. And yeah. Some things that I've been trying to avoid of fixing with myself, being face to face with it, like, all right, girl, you're gonna have to deal with this.
And you should throw that guilt away because it's not just you taking a pause. The world is taking a pause.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like sometimes absolutely. I feel really at the beginning of this, I was like, damn, my kids are going to be behind a whole school year. They're going to be behind, and I'm super, like, I'm not a tiger mom, but I really care about their education. Mm-hmm. And so then someone said to me, but everybody's kid's going to be in the same boat. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we are all in this together.
Exactly. And, like, that's the thing. I love, we're all in different boats, but we're in the same storm mm-hmm. in a way that I think that, like, we've never been. And also, I think, June, like your insight is so right because of being like you taking a minute for yourself when the world stops right now, like, yeah, you focused it on you, which is awesome because when you put on your own oxygen mask, that means that you can help the people around you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely true. Yeah.
Ooh, that was a great segue for the next segment. Thank you.
I miss these moments of podcasting.
We're hitting the top of the hour, and I wanted to ask her an audience question that we got a submission for. And basically, I know you mentioned at the top that, like, you know, you are Irish, right? So you're used to drinking every night. But for those of us that aren't, well, I'm not included.
you mean because you don't have the black Irish that you're like of learning how to like yourself? That's fine. No problem.
Well, I was born Irish, okay?
So we might be related.
I know, I love.
We are coming to the
world. You have to see people's face when I walk into interviews, like Gian McMichael, and here I come. Hey, I'm Gian.
Oh my God, this is perfect. It's perfect. That.
I love it. So as a professional coach and just awesome person, what are some ways that people can cope with the anxiety? Healthy ways, not let me reframe that. What is the healthy ways that we can all collect some anxiety that we may be feeling? Because I'm seeing a lot of people like stuck at home, even though we're safe at home, but it is still a stressor for most people.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. And I kind of, from what you just said about being like stuck at home, my favorite thing that has been helpful with the anxiety around this is. We have so much stuff around, I have to, ... And Mel Robbins, I've been watching a lot of her stuff. I don't know if you guys watch her at all. She's great. She's on YouTube. She's got a television show. But she says instead of I have to do, I get to do. Mm. And that's been a really wonderful shift for me mm-hmm. is not I have to cook. It's I get to cook. It's not I have to work from home. I get to work from home. And that has shifted the way that I feel about so much in this way that's really, really cool. And I think that, again, it circles back to the gratitude that on that day when I can, like, walk down the street and get takeout from 10 different places, I'm going to be like, man, I am so amped for this, for, like, me to be able to get fast access to this kind of stuff. I think that one great way to deal with this anxiety and to alleviate it is to create a routine. I know that this is particularly hard with parents, especially if you're having to do e-learning and homeschooling. Like the only thing that I've seen be successful with clients is the idea of the early morning. I know, drink it, mama. You deserve it. Every sip. is the idea of a routine, and it could be a routine that's 10 minutes, but it's 10 minutes that you promise just to yourself. And usually if it's before everybody gets up, writing gratitude, things that you're grateful for, a really good stretch, a cup of coffee, moments that you have grabbed for yourself that you feel fully in control of, and especially first thing in the morning, because then you're setting yourself up for success for the rest of the day. I also think that something like writing things down, especially if you can write them in the past tense, if you're writing like yesterday, XYZ thing happened. So it allows for you to not be so present in your anxiety of being like, yesterday, things were problematic. This thing happened, whatever it is, but past tensing it. And then being like, today, my hopes for today are dot, 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 dot. And it allows for you to just kind of let go of yesterday, let that be the past, and then again, root you in the present, which is kind of nice. One thing that I've found to be really helpful also with anxiety stuff is understanding this in context, right? Of being like, that's the coolest thing about being an adult, is that we have all done hard things. And if you think about any moment in your past and it being like, I never thought I was going to get through this. I never thought that that breakup would end. I never thought that I would get over someone's passing or losing my job. And somehow or another, we did. And we did it successfully. And we've lived a beautiful life. And that we got over it before and we'll get over it again. And sometimes writing down like the things that we've already been able to transcend, I call it like an accomplishment box, or that something that you've done that you're proud of, just put it in like in a note in your phone. And that allows for you to be like, in the midst of this really dark thing, I've done these incredible things. And I guess the last thing I can think of is that I know that at some point this is going to pass, right? To circle back to the context piece. And I know that I'm going to be changed by it. I know that all of us are going to be changed by it. And the question that I ask myself when anxiety just like starts banging on my door is, okay, I get it. I'm anxious. What am I going to do with the anxiety, and how am I going to turn it into something positive? And how am I going to try to be positively changed by it?
You're adorable. Thank you. That was amazing. That was so amazing.
That specifically spoke for me because I told Jen my anxiety has been going crazy during this pandemic. I used to suffer from panic attacks. They started coming back, and I had to take a step back. I just won some CBD gummy worms from a friend.
Good.
This is my second night trying them. And like even getting ready to record, I was like, oh my God, I haven't done this in a while. What if it's not good? What if there's mistakes? Like I started going crazy. Like the gummy worms kicked in. I'm just like, it'll be fine.
It's going to be great.
I'm not high. I'm just like.
I use CBD for, because I have chronic pain. So I use CBD for, and I panic the whole nine. So like, I'm with you. You're so smart. All of your choices that are white ones. And if you do want some coaching, if you need a minute, you just give me a shout. We'll set up an appointment.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's weird. Like, okay, so my panic attacks come, but it's like yesterday I was thinking about wanting to get into real estate. I'm like, oh, I should get my real estate license. So in addition to fixing people's credit, I can help them get an apartment or a house. But then I went online looking up like schools and ended up options, made me like, oh my God. And then instantly I just felt like I felt like stuffed. Totally. And I'm like, I did that to myself. Why would I even put this pressure on me to hurry up and get this license? But sometimes I do it to myself. But lately I've been like scared to go to sleep because like when I sleep, I wake up in the middle of the night and I can't breathe.
Yeah,
I'm just like, and I used to have that in college when I used to have tests. So I'm like, I knew exactly what it was. And usually I'll just have to like get to the light, turn the light on and just kind of like focus on something. Yeah. But I'm like, oh my God, why is this happening after all these years? Why is that coming back? So I'm like, I don't know if I got triggered, feeling like I need to be doing more. So it was weird.
Well, it's the controlling what you can control. That's what anxiety is. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is just fear of not being able to control what's happening. And this is a small trick that I recommend to clients just whenever you're having a panic attack, because I have them too, is imagine your brain as like a white computer screen, like a blank document with a giant question mark on it, and highlight the question mark and then make it one click smaller. And then one click smaller, like one like font number, you know, down like smaller and smaller and smaller until it's so teeny tiny, and then drag it to the bottom left-hand corner of that like blank white document. And you will be shocked at how much.
Do this in my head?
Yeah. Do it in your head.
Oh, wow.
And just make it smaller. Make the question mark smaller and smaller and smaller. And then just drag it to the left-hand corner of your, in your mind.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. I'll send you the description.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it now in my head, like, question mark.
Oh, she's about to get really quiet right now.
Are you okay? It's getting smaller. It's getting smaller.
My ADD will not allow me to focus on that question since we're all here. One thing, I just wanted to give 2 points for maybe the working parents out there that might be listening to this podcast, or the people in transition. So I don't suffer from anxiety, right? What I do suffer from sometimes is burnout, right? And I think when I get to the point where I'm burned out and it can kind of feel a little bit like depression. And I went through that like a few days ago when I started reading the news and it was just like, we're getting reinfected. And I was like, holy shit, this is it. The aliens are coming. We're getting reinfected. This is it, guys. Like, I started to believe all the conspiracy theories. I was like, shit, oh my God. Before I was so positive and grateful, like, oh, now I'm like, I had a day, 24 hours, where I was like, ah, you know, I'm going to go into my tin fort and have my metal hat or whatever. And I was just having a moment where I was just starting to feel really sad for myself and really sad for the world. And then what helps me sometimes is to reframe. So I think many people think a happy life is just a beautiful, never-ending landscape of beautiful moments and positivities and wins and all these good things just in a row, so that when we do experience not wins or fails, or you know, when we do experience pain and depression or loss, we get tripped up on it and it's like, this is it. You're like, oh my God, I can't breathe. Like, how is this happening? My life is awful. And I was like, I feel like I'm in a very much of a state of transition. And I was just like, why is this happening to me? And I'm like, no, it's, I really have to think about, like, instead of looking at it from my life is beautiful with these pain points sprinkled in, it should be that I could find beauty through these pain points. I can find the joys of life through these dark moments, because we're all human. We're all going to experience heartbreak, loss, death, you know, failure, regret. We're all, there's no escape from these feelings. That's the one thing that connects us all, regardless of what color we are, religion, shape, economic thing. We all experience these spectrums of emotions at times, right? And it's really about finding the beauty in life through these moments. And it helped me refocus, because I was on this like super stressed out track where it was like, okay, I have a really great job, and I really want to make sure that I'm doing my best for the job. But now, in addition to that job, I am a cafeteria lady. I am a teacher. I am a school mom. I am a parent. I am a working woman. And I'm, you know, wanting to be creative and a producer. And so
the it was podcaster.
Really, yeah, the podcaster. And I was just really like, oh, this is getting really hard. So I'm like, you know what? I was really snappy at the kids. And this is for my working parents out there. And it was like, you know what? My job is there. I will do what I can around the hours that I can. But my kids need me right now, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't need angry mommy. And they don't need snappy mommy. Or I'm on a conference call, mommy. Stop it. They don't need that mommy. They just need a human, right? Like, they need someone that's kind of nice and is going to help them get through the school shit too. And so I started to reshift my schedule this week. And it's been so much better, because I reframed, right? I was like, okay, these are the projects. If I can get this done within these 5 days, I was successful. Whether I'm getting it done outside on the deck at 2 a.m. or while they're eating Cheerios, it's done. I communicated up and I said, I'm going to be focused on these projects this week. I'm going to be quiet on calls. And if you really need me, you text me, and then I'll run outside on the deck and have a call with you really quickly. But I have to be there for my kids. And you know what my son said to me today? I completely reshaped school. They're going to be screwed in September, but from like 22, there's no school. Your kids eat lunch. We're going to watch Disney Plus. You're going to draw. You're going to do something fun for you. I'm not going to sit here and make you go through school from 7 to 3 o'clock. Their school is like, we wake up in the morning, we do meditation. It's not as glamorous as it sounds, guys. Sorry if it sounds like I'm being a yuppie mom, but like, we try to do meditation. That's more
fabulous.
Like,
I love it.
We have breakfast, a meal that we cook together. We start 2 lessons. We have art, we have language. And then we have that 2-hour break in the day. And then when they're ready to come back at like 2:30, they're actually better like to do schoolwork, right? And so my son was trying to get me to watch this like Minecraft video, and before I would have been like, now I'm like they're watching this horrible video with him, and I'm like, how's that make you feel? Are you good? And he's like, mommy, I love spending time with you so much. It makes me so happy. And I'm like, I will never get that back. Mm. I would have never had that moment if we were not home, because he would have been at school or daycare, you know? So I'm really starting to like see how being present for them and being present in this moment is beneficial for all of us. And, you know, feeling the pressure of work or competing priorities, you got one priority. Live through this, come out stronger together as a family, and your job will be there, regardless if you slave over it or not. Do the best that you can, because that's what everyone's doing right now. They're just trying their best.
Yeah.
Yes. That's beautiful. And I love also the process of you being, like, I think that the thing that I'm hearing from both of you in this way that I love is, like, let's all just be gentle with ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, let's be gentle with ourselves, with our kids, with the parameters, with the standards at which we hold ourselves. Like, let's just be gentle, because we're all doing our best. And I think that that's so insightful and so beautiful. Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I think when this pandemic first started, when schools closed, I made a post on Facebook, and I didn't renege on it, but I kind of realized why it probably triggered people. I was upset because when schools closed, I don't have any kids. So that's one thing I should have spoken on it, because I don't have kids. But I was just upset with the people in my age range, or the people I personally know who are not, I'm sorry to say, not really great moms. And they were more upset that schools were closing with the idea of childcare, and not because their child's education was cut short. Not because, oh my God, I don't know how to, you know, take care of my child. The only concern was more of, who's going to watch my kid? And it's like, so I made a post like, you know, school isn't really daycare. So if your only concern with schools closing is, you know, about childcare, maybe you shouldn't be having kids. And like, I made that post with the idea, knowing the intent, what I was trying to say, because I specifically speaking to a group of moms, not to the actual working moms who would struggle, but all the working moms that I personally know on my Facebook were under my post chewing me out. And I was just like, I'm not talking about you guys. But then I realized, like, maybe my words did hurt them a bit, but because maybe they did have a thought for a second of, I have to work, who's going to watch my kid? And I'm like, no, that's not my intent.
And
I didn't delete the post, because I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, I said what I said, but I'm taking this opportunity to explain what I really mean. Like, I would never attack anyone who's working. I'm talking about the ones who aren't working, who don't really have an excuse for why they upset schools are closed. Because I know some people who will complain. I'm like, but girl, you're in the house every day anyway. So what's the issue?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm very glad that you are looking back in hindsight and like saying, hey, you know, I've grown from the beginning of this.
Yeah, like, it was hard, like how you said, be gentle. My post was harsh, especially at the beginning of school's closing when people were still trying to figure it out.
Oh, I for a full week was like a devil stomping the floor, like, I have a job. Like, when it's like, but it really was not just about my job. It was a fear, because it's like, do you know Common Core is horrible? It is. I can't even know math. I literally don't know the new math. All right. So it's like, there's a fear that you're not going to be good enough to teach your kids, mm-hmm. or fear. A lot of people fear maybe they can't feed their kids, they can't teach their kids. You know, it's their only chance for their kids to have a normal life outside of their house. And for me, it was like, I never wanted to be, like, I've always wanted to be a teacher, but for older people. But like, I never, if I didn't have kids, I don't like, I'm not that person that's like a kid person. So it was like, what the hell? Like, I don't, you know, I love my kids. I don't like your kids. I love my kids. I don't like your kids.
Right.
Let me explain that. But
yeah,
I didn't know what I was going to do with them all day. Like, what the hell I was going to teach them. It's hard. And I will never doubt a teacher's strength again.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I am always grateful for teachers, but in September, they're getting a lot of shit from me, okay? They're getting everything they want. Like, we woke up shopping, sis.
And these are things I would have never thought about because I don't have kids. And that's when I was in that position to say, you know what, Gianna, you already are someone who don't speak on things that you don't have any connection with. And that's one of those moments I was like, you know what? I mean, the post is still up there because I'm not going to hide it. I did say it, and it's kind of like I learned from it. But I'm taking this opportunity on this podcast to say I apologize if I did offend anyone when I said it. My intention wasn't to, because I'm a vocal person. I just say things that come to my mind. But I should have really took into account that even though I know the point I was trying to make, it will hurt people who really do support me. And that wasn't my intention. So I do apologize for that post. And it was so blunt. And I was just, because I was just so annoyed, but still.
You know what? Many people say things they don't mean, but not many people are big enough to apologize for that.
I agree. And that's wonderful. And that's being accountable is so hard.
I didn't want to look
good for you. And really publicly, that's amazing.
But yeah, I'm sorry.
You're sorry. So
I'm sorry to be ignorant. Like, that was ignorant. That's something I didn't have no knowledge of when it comes to being a mom. I don't have any kids. Now, ask me about podcasting. I know. But that's just something I should have, if I was going to speak on it, I should have asked people first about how they felt and then come up with a general post. Because I feel like there were certain things I didn't think about when I made the post, and that's because I don't have kids. And I need to stick to what I say. I don't speak on things. Like, I'm one of those people that I have no problem saying, I don't know anything about that. I'm not the person you should ask. But I do know someone. Maybe you should hit her up. This is my friend. Like, and I should have kept that same energy when it came to that.
Thank you. So we're getting close to the end of the hour, and I just wanted to tap Katie one more time and just to see what's next for you, right? What is, I know you have a lot of big things in the work. It was in the works before the pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. We'll see.
Is there any kind of message you want to leave with the audience? Or I know that, like, you're a coach and she's actually offering, like, a free check-in or, session with her. Please, guys, take your mental health seriously and hit Katie up. Like, it's a priority right now for everybody. So go ahead. I will leave the mic in your lap. 100%.
Oh, gosh. I guess the thing that I can see is, like, one thing that is important to think about right now, generally, is that we do have this really incredible opportunity with the amount of time that we spent at home, right? And again, if we're looking at these broken pieces of our life, we get to sort of choose what pieces that have, after they've been run over by a truck, what pieces we want to hold on to. What pieces do we want to rebuild? What foundation? What things are important and actually matter? So take this time, with yourself and to be like, what is it that I want? And how am I going to build a life that was more beautiful than the one was there before? And if you do need support, if you want someone to get you from where you were to where you want to be, I'd be delighted to kind of help you on that journey.
You are a pro. You are so good. You are so good.
Like, what's the website now?
Yeah, no, it's katiecmckenna.com. I'm on Instagram at katiecmckenna. And also there is this other crazy thing that there are talks with Ellen DeGeneres' production company and Warner Brothers Studios about taking the book that I wrote, How to Get Run Over by a Truck, and potentially turning it into a television series, which is
exciting.
Yeah. So we'll see. There's a lot of wildness that's happening in Hollywood and around the world, really.
Yes, hey.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? You'd be amazing.
You're just eating ice cream and just...
What I would like is that maybe you'd be like the ladies at the bar after I've recovered and we're just like, and I just like,
Right, and they're like drunk, like, so what do you do? I write a book. What is it called? How to Get By a Truck.
Yeah, exactly. What I want is that Jenny side eye. Can you give me that tequila drinking side eye? There it is. Yes. Ooh.
They're like, I think she's crazy. She has a book about how to scam people.
Exactly.
Here she goes, an author. I'm like, an author? What does she think? She got run over by a truck or something? Like,
oh my God.
There it is.
And it's like, actually, I did. I'm like, oh my God. Get me on this script. I love this though. Yay. I'm so excited for that.
I know. I am so thrilled that you were able to join us tonight. Oh, we're so grateful for you. And please, we'll definitely drop your information because I think the world needs to hear from you. And I think you have that little, like, you just make the room better by being in it. I'm so proud of you.
Say that much.
Yes. And Dion, I'm proud of you, girl.
What did I do?
So growth, and you know what? And honesty and bravery. And I'm proud of you. And Dion, you are always fueling everybody's fires and always looking for the next way to improve yourself. And you need... want to be there for you to do the same thing. So I'm so grateful for you. And you keep on rocking, girl.
The episode is like, I want to cry. Stop.
I can't help it. I'm a Gemini, and we live on inspirational speeches. It fuels us. Like,
that's at bars. Like, Gian, you are amazing. I appreciate you. I'm just like, lashes all over
here. Ugly cry moment.
Yeah, you guys are doing beautiful work. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how grateful I am. Thanks for letting me be a part of this. Like, just being in your light is kind of a really, really special experience. So thank you so much.
Hugs. Since we're all far away. This sucks. I want to be in a studio. I want to play with you.
One day we'll get back to hugging again. This exactly. is tough for people like me who like to kiss, but you know, it's all right. So finding resilience through gratitude and through dark moments is tough, but we have folks that have done it, have survived before, and are prepared to get us forward to what's next. And that could be a beautiful thing. So thank you so much, Katie, for joining us tonight. We'll be sure to drop your information. And everybody who reaches out to her, please reference Sorry Not Sorry podcast, and you can get a free session with Katie. So thank you all. Thank you. And keep it peeled for some more Zoom podcasts, right?
Social distancing. Let's lower the curve a little bit more. I want to be outside this summer.
Yes.